welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here.
Hello, hello. How are you today? This is Nicole, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to it. So happy and excited to be here with you today. I'm excited for a couple reasons. First of all, if you are a friend of the pod, if you've been listening, you know that for quite a while, Lisa and I have been working with Christina Sarno, Dr. John Sarno's daughter, a close friend and colleague of ours, and also for years and years, a mental health counselor in New York City doing this work in her own private practice. And we've come together to create a practitioner training, the Sarno Sachs Solution, and it is launching in days. It is launching on April 29th, 2025. And it's so exciting, 18¾ CEs for any psychologists, social workers, or counselors that want to use this toward their CE credits for licensure, and also just such a comprehensive way for you to take this work, my work, the stuff that I've been teaching and writing about for many, many years, the stuff that began with my own partnership with Dr. Sarno back in the early 2000s. You can bring this to your practice, to your life. Whether your practice be a professional practice or whether you just really want to take this to the next level in the way to carry this message as a coach or as a person who wants to educate other people on exactly how to do this for yourself. So it's really just next level stuff, and I'm very excited. So we're going to be talking about it on Instagram. If you don't already follow my Instagram account, it's at Nicole Sachs LCSW. We're going to be doing lots of Instagram lives, lots of Q&As for you to be really informed about this. And also it will be available on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Go there to sign up. Go there to hear everything about what's going on. All of my stuff there, all of my resources, both free and if you want to make an investment in your healing in this way, all the stuff is there. Also, I'm excited because today I bring you an incredible interview with Monica Leah. So Monica is a somatic tracking practitioner. I'm always trying to remember exactly how to label everybody because everybody who I bring into this podcast and into my world brings such an important piece to the world of healing in mind-body medicine. So Monica originally was as many of us are, a patient of this work. She had terrible pain and symptoms. She came through Dr. Sarno in my work. I interviewed her on the podcast previously, episode 100, the 100th episode of this podcast, if you want to go back and hear Monica's original interview. And through her healing, as many people do, she decided to make this work her life. And she went back and got certification to be a coach and is a person who specializes in reprocessing pain through somatic tracking and somatic experiencing. And one of the things I am really working on is helping to involve the body as much as I involve the heart and the mind. So embodiment is something that people with chronic pain, and any people, usually I did, have to actually practice because we're not used to naturally dropping into our bodies. We avoid feeling things in our bodies, which is part of the problem in chronic issues. And so I wanted to work with Monica and bring her to the Omega Institute, which I will be doing this summer, June 23rd through the 28th. I wanted to bring her there because I don't just want to work on the heart and the mind. I want to help us really physically and intentionally drop into our bodies. And we're going to be doing that at Omega with this somatic tracking that Monica does so beautifully and with some really intentional meditation practices like bringing in Tibetan singing bowls and sound healing. We're going to be doing that in addition to all the hardcore science and the work of excavating our emotional worlds, because it's all important. It's all important. We're going to be doing that together, and Monica will be joining us. So I wanted to jump on the pod with her for the second time, not as a patient, but as a professional and as a peer, because that is the way this works. She is symptom-free. She is living her best life, and she brings this work really profoundly to others. And so today we're going to be talking about that, what she does, why it's important, And when we actually all get to Omega together, we're going to be experiencing that. And I definitely hope to do a follow-up pod with her where she puts me in the hot seat, which is really awesome for me. I actually love it, where I do the actual work on air with another practitioner. So we're going to be bringing that to you. It may happen before Omega, it may happen after. But anyway, I'm excited to bring you her work. So if you are interested in coming to Omega, you just have to go to eomega.org and search my name, Nicole Sachs, or you can go to my website, The Cure for Chronic Pain, and click on the Retreats tab. The accommodations at Omega are almost full, and I am still giving away a free one-on-one session that will be raffled for those who sign up. So definitely, if you're planning to come, I would definitely do that now rather than later. All right, lots of love, you guys. Enjoy this interview with Monica Leah. Hello, everybody. I am here today with Monica Leah. Welcome, Monica.
Hi, Nicole. Nice to be here. How are you?
I'm great. And being with Monica is like being with a friend. We have many different ways that we connect in our lives. So I'm just going to kind of lay it out so everybody knows kind of the background of our work together and what we're doing moving forward. So I met Monica when she was but a wee little girl in this process, meaning when she was a full adult, but just new to this process. And she had a success story that she was super new to it, but she wrote me an email that really grabbed my attention because of the lovely story that involved her children. And we ended up jumping on the air. So if you want to go back, I will put it in the intro, which you've already heard, the number of the podcast episode. Monica and I, she's telling me, what is it?
100.
Oh, right. You are the 100th episode. Okay. Episode 100 of this podcast is Monica's original story. So that kind of started our relationship. And it just kind of morphed from there, where she became such a great spokesperson for this work. She ended up being and is still one of the admins on my larger Journal Speak page, which is upwards of, it's like, I think at 22,000 now.
Right around there, yeah.
Yeah, maybe even closer to 23,000 people in active conversation at Journal Speak at Nicole Sachs, LCSW. It's a private group on Facebook. It's an incredibly warm, nurturing, and kind community, thanks to the work of Monica and the other admins. And the latest chapter in our work together is that Monica is coming to Omega to teach what we are about to talk about today, which is somatic tracking, embodiment, bringing the somatic experience of being in your body to this work. Because, you know, I often say this is mind-body work, and so much of what my work focuses on is the mind and the heart, is bringing that repressed stuff that has been hidden for so long out and to the surface, but also just in a space where we can consider release of these kind of things. And I've been trying to expand my offerings to really do more with the body, to do more with embodiment and experiencing being in our bodies, because that is equal, you know, importance of this work. And so Monica's work really caught my eye. She is a coach, a chronic pain coach. She helps people reprocess the things that are happening to them as they move from their emotions through their bodies. And she's going to do some beautiful and incredible work with us at the Omega Institute. So we're just here today to kind of riff on what Monica does. But Monica, what I'd love for you to begin with, just to remind people of your beginnings, because we are all many. Almost all of us that end up on this podcast began with suffering, began with our own darkness that brought us into what eventually woke us up. So why don't you tell a little bit about your story and maybe just include that lovely moment camping with your kids, because I just love it so much and I want to hear it again.
Hello, everybody. My name is Monica Leah, and you can go back to episode 100 and hear this whole story in a lot more detail and sort of what got me here. But when I first discovered the work of Nicole and Dr. Sarno, I quickly pegged myself as a lifelong TMSer. I had a really compromised birth. I was needed to be resuscitated and had a lot of early childhood trauma in those regards. And when I discovered this work and realized all of the symptoms that I'd had throughout my life really pointed to this idea of dysregulated nervous system,
yes,
feelings of unsafety, I clicked onto this so with such passion and vindication that this was such a missing piece of what I had done. I'd spent lots of time in therapy and really looking for, you know, all sorts of food protocols and physical therapy for the shoulder or the knee or the back or whatever was coming up for me. I had, at one point I thought I had psoriatic arthritis because
yes,
I do have psoriasis. Currently, none of my plaques are visible or present. Those went away from the result of engaging in mind-body practices, primarily at that time, journal speak. It really released the pressure valve on my nervous system and helped me to realign myself with who I was, and possibly even for the first time ever.
Yes.
And so I found your work in July of 2020, and took me a while to do much other than just journal. I remember on one of your first podcasts, you said, if you don't want to get into the science and you trust me to just get going, just get going. And it was such a profound first journaling experience that I thought this is such a missing piece of what I've needed.
Yeah.
And I was finally able to bring so much of what I'd done in therapy. It was like unlocking the toolbox of healing. It was finally like, I have a key. I have something that helps me open up all of these tools that I've been gathering for so long. And I ordered your book. And at one point I remember, you know, it's like this sort of like, just live your life. Help, you know, bring the pain with you, bring the
right
symptoms with you, attitudes of indifference, you know, go. I had been stuck in my house for so long. And as a mom of, at that time, two much younger kids, they're 9 and 10 now, so they've watched me grow and change over the years. But at that time, there was so much pressure, COVID and online learning, and they were young. And so I latched onto that idea of continuing to live life while also still sort of keeping the pain sort of in the sidecar, coming along with me.
Right.
And we took this really great camping trip, and I brought your book along, and we're in the tent, the three of us. My two kids are on the side of me because, you know, I need somebody to protect me in the middle of the night.
Of course. Of course.
And I had read them a dozen books, and I finally said, okay, you guys, you know, time for you guys to settle down. I'm going to read my book. And my youngest said, what are you reading? Read it to us. And so I just started reading The Meaning of Truth. And the oldest one, I think at one point said, what are you even talking about? You know, like, what is this? Anyway, the next morning we got up and I'm making breakfast, and my youngest shows me this really darling picture that they drew, and it's us in the tent, all in our little sleeping bags, and your book is like the cover of your book. They sort of redrew the cover of your book with us in the tent, and it was a really just a beautiful moment. I'm like, this isn't just about me, and while I'm healing myself, I'm also showing my kids that you don't have to keep doing what you're doing.
Yes.
There is possibility for change. You are autonomous in life. You can be empowered, and you can look at your life and say, it's not working for me, and I am my own agent in moving forward. So that was really it. And kind of went from there. I fell in love with the chronic pain community. Just, I think, I've always been a teacher in a sense. I am a licensed special educator. I haven't taught in many, many years, but just helping has always been something that brings me great joy and a deep sense of purpose. And I'm so thrilled to be a part of your community and a part of the lives of my clients. It's so special that it's sometimes hard to describe, and I get a little emotional about being, in a way, I feel chosen and very humbled.
Yeah.
To watch and be a part of people's the changes that they use to improve their lives and to not be so locked down
yes.
by their symptoms.
No, it's so profound. And I just need to put a finer point on this thing with kids, because I'm in a world where I'm raising, of course, my three children who have grown up in this work. And now that I'm with Lisa, I have such a front row seat and an influence on hers. And it's like watching these kids realize that they don't have to be sick. They don't have to have chronic headaches, stomach aches. You know, they can question their bodies and say, hey, not be scared of their bodies and not think their bodies are against them, but rather say, hey, what's going on today that I'm on my way to school and I'm having this terrible stomach ache, or, you know, this headache was last night and it is still not gone, even though I took, you know, an Advil. Like, what's happening? And the gift of watching someone you trust and love, a parent, embrace this work is there's no way to put a price tag on that for kids. Yeah. And I, you know, I just was discussing with Monica before we jumped on air that my book is in my second book is in the final stages of edit, and it's going to copy edit, which means I know, yay. And which means that the stories in the book will be shared. And one of the stories in the book was written by my now 16-year-old daughter, who is also a guest on this podcast, who has a diagnosis of an issue with the bones in her feet that a surgeon told us would 100% need surgery. And she's a competitive ballet dancer, and that would have been, you know, a huge deal in her life. And she did the TMS work with me begrudgingly at first. You know, don't expect these kids to throw a parade. Trust me, they roll their eyes a lot. But she is absolutely completely symptom free, and she dances 25 hours a week. That's a lot. She chooses it. And she's going to be dancing this summer at an intensive program, and she has no pain. And so this is the gift that each of you guys can give your kids and can give yourselves. And so I always love Monica's story, and I know your kids are growing up being fertilized in the soil of this work and will not have the issues that so many kids have. And so anyway, I love that story. So let's shift gears a bit. Tell me about the focus of what you do with clients and what you bring and what we're going to be doing together at Omega.
So one of the big things that I focus on with clients, besides journaling, we talk a lot about journaling, but also in terms of somatic tracking and really helping our brain and our nervous system interpret the sensations that we experience in our bodies, the feelings, the emotions, through a lens of safety as opposed to danger. So really looking at our bodies through a different perspective and helping clients to normalize the experiences that happen in our bodies. When our brain and our nervous system are primed and fine-tuned to pick up on danger, anything that we feel in our bodies has the potential to be viewed as, by the brain and the nervous system, as a threat to our well-being.
Yes.
And so really helping clients look at their bodies through the lens of safety. And somatic tracking is a really great way to teach the brain that the felt sense isn't a threat to our livelihood.
Right. It's like along the lines of feelings aren't facts.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, years ago, I did a course in parenting. And I remember the facilitator mentioned that, you know, that children themselves are great, great perceivers, right? They perceive everything that's going on. However, their interpretation of what's going on doesn't always come through in the best way, right?
Yes.
A lot is lost in translation. And the way that I sort of generalize that to, you know, in a sense of like the amygdala is doing the same thing. It's perceiving all day long, but it interprets pretty poorly.
Yes.
Especially given if we have childhood stressors, stories from our past, you know, the amygdala is meant to keep us alive. So the more evidence that it has that it's doing a great job, the better of a job it's going to do.
Okay, so let's unpack. That's a great way of saying it. So let's unpack that. So the way I interpret that is, if you're receiving input from your environment that you're in danger because your boss calls you in and says, I need to speak to you, right? So mm-hmm. the amygdala says danger, danger, because, you know, when your dad said he needed to speak to you, or when your teacher, you know, in third grade who was abusive asked to speak to you, that was a terrible feeling. That was a scary feeling. That was a feeling that made you feel less than or sort of desperate to get out of there, right? So So all of that information is banked. And your boss maybe innocently says, hey, you know, when you have a second, could you come into my office? Okay, so the amygdala says, oh no, this is a very dangerous situation, because the interpretation is colored by all of these other life experiences that were, especially in childhood, very dangerous. Because childhood is a time of such disempowerment. And if you are not being well treated, you really have very little agency to do anything about it. Okay, so if indeed your feelings of needing protection are co-signed by your conscious mind, your amygdala is like, well then, let's do this more and more. And if the protection comes in the form of allowing the brain or basically assigning the brain the job of sending pain signals to your back or your stomach or your head or whatever, then that's the thing that's going to be perpetuated, the pain signals, the protection is pain signals. So that is a great, I love the way you describe that.
Well, it just enforces and reinforces that pain fear cycle, right? And gives that amygdala even more, in a sense, a belief that it's doing a really, really great job, because that's what it wants to do.
Yes.
Right. So often we look at this as like, oh, my brain and my body are against me. Right. Like, it's really the amygdala is saying, we're unsafe, and I'm doing a really good job of showing you how unsafe I feel.
Yes.
We misinterpret that. We take it super personally. I know I did. I took my IBS symptoms and my back pain and my whatever was showing up as significantly and deeply personal, that I was doing something wrong.
Yes.
I was messing it all up and that my body was against me. So when we can apply a tool such as somatic tracking, not only are we showing the brain and the nervous system that that sensation isn't actually a threat to our well-being and our livelihood, right? Because the amygdala is like, we're either protecting you from death or we're resting and repairing. There's really not much in the middle. And so, you know, the amygdala is going to perceive that boss saying, hey, come on in, as the exact same threat as if a tiger is chasing us.
Yes.
So, you know, we're really, that's the part, you know, it's going to interpret everything through that lens of unsafety. So two ways that I really enjoy sort of talking about somatic tracking is, you know, in one sense, yes, we can somatic track individual sensations, right? My knee hurts, I have fibromyalgia, or, you know, whatever diagnosis or symptom is showing up for you, we can certainly track those individual sensations and help the brain perceive them as a non-threat to our bodies and to our livelihoods. But we can also track this sort of general felt sense of life, right? How do we feel about sitting in stillness? How do we feel? How do we respond when fear shows up? How do we respond when anxiety shows up or an anxious moment? And so sort of looking at it from this two-pronged approach, I'm going to look at my symptoms individually, but I also want to teach my brain an overall sense of felt sense of safety. To me, it's like looking at it as I'm going to tease apart the details, but I'm also going to look at the broad picture also.
Yeah.
And you know, sort of in a sense, like when I think about it in conjunction with like journaling, right? I might say, okay, I'm going to pull an item from one of my three lists. And I'm going to look at that scenario. And I want to sort of resolve or move through that experience, be able to normalize it to my brain and my nervous system that that emotion that I feel, let's say anger, isn't a threat to my livelihood.
Yes.
While that's great, a lot of times when I journal, it comes back to this overall sense of felt safety. How do I feel in my body? How do I feel in the world? And how do I feel in my relationships, let's say? So some people also really resonate with this idea of like, it's not just about targeting individual, but it's the broad sense. So, you know, like when you build a Lego set, you got to do the little stuff and then you sort of have to put the big thing all together.
Right. So are you saying that it's not just this one experience that I'm maybe writing about from that happened in childhood or that my daily life? It's how is it for me to experience anger? Does it feel safe? Does it feel like I'm allowed? Does it feel like I deserve? So tell me how does somatic tracking help? Like how does it work?
So somatic tracking is a way to expose the brain and the nervous system to a sensation in your body. So, you know, we're just drumming up this emotion or drumming up the pain. Sometimes, you know, I'll have a client show up and they're relaxed and they're talking and they're telling me about their shoulder pain that they had yesterday, but it's not here today. Oh, it only happens when I stand. Great. Go ahead and stand up. Right. Let's get a little bit of agitation in your body about the sensation. Because if we don't have anything to track, there's nothing to track.
Right.
So we want a little bit of a sensation to come up. If it's really high, let's say the sensation in the shoulder is 7 and above, what I like to focus on at that point is leaning into more positive sensations. So you can somatic track positive sensations also. You can sit in the seat of what it feels like to enjoy your body again. So when we drum up, let's say we go back to the shoulder, when we drum up this sensation and we look at it through a very neutral perspective, right? The brain and the nervous system really wants to latch on to fear, doomsday, everything is terrible, this pain is horrible.
Because it's looking to save your life.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So neutrality is really important in how we observe the sensations in our body. So when we close our eyes and we're focusing on the sensation in our body and you say to yourself, it pinches, it hurts, it's terrible, right? That sends immediate messages to the brain that you're under attack.
Yes.
Whereas a neutral perspective diffuses that fear and helps us look at the sensations through this very neutral lens. I like to use words, you know, I ask clients descriptive words. Is it large? Is it small? Is it spiky? Is it hot? Does it move? Is there any color associated with it? Really trying to utilize a more a less fear-based way of looking at our bodies. And while we're doing that, observing these sensations through this neutral perspective, we also say, and I'm safe right now.
Mm-hmm.
So coming up with unique and personal messages of safety that really resonate with you. I know some people are like, don't you dare say I'm safe because that doesn't feel authentic.
Yes.
Right. What does feel authentic? I'm going to get through this.
Yeah.
Right. Or anybody in this situation would be feeling overwhelmed.
Right.
Something that really soothes you. I love to think about ways that my grandma used to speak to me. mm-hmm. as a way that I speak to myself now in terms of applying that soothing tool. And also working on sort of the embodiment of lightheartedness and even playfulness, mm-hmm. right? I know that we've done this before. One of my favorite analogies for exploring sensations in the body is to think about the magic school bus and the
yes.
circle, right? It's such a lighthearted way of thinking about what's going on inside of us. Another one that I really like is the drone, because drones are kind of, you know, they're neat and they can go anywhere. When we're exploring the sensations in our body, it isn't just, you know, sort of this, a lot of times we can get stuck in this top down perspective of what our bodies look like. So I encourage people, what does it look like below that sensation? What does it look like on the backside? If you were to be able to take a drone or the magic school bus all around your sensation and take data, neutral data about what you're observing, What would your body say? What do you pick up on? And then we apply that soothing, those soothing messages, and practice keeping ourselves in a state of lightheartedness, relaxation, or even humor is really great. And the brain's like, oh, that sensation isn't a threat.
Mm-hmm.
We're literally showing the brain.
Like, I can't tell you how much this lights me up, because from the moment I started trying to teach this work many, many, many years ago, the biggest hurdle I ever had to overcome was people thinking that what I was saying was some like light additive thing that they might do on top of, you know, the panic and the medication and the surgeries. And what I try to explain to people is, what I'm teaching you is not light and it's not additive. This is the foundational way the human brain and the human body work together. It is so scientific and it is so not, you know, woo-woo therapy talk. This is like, if you want to not be in pain, in very physical pain, you need to understand that we need to rewrite the neural pathways that are associated with those pain signals firing. Now, journal speak is part of that. And if certainly belief that is, you know, part touches on everything is a huge part of that, because when you know that you're not in danger anymore, that really calms the nervous system right down. But what Monica is teaching right now is a very targeted way to inform your brain that you actually are not benefiting from the signals that are being fired into these muscle groups and the constriction and the spasm and the inflammation, even if it's just even the flares of autoimmune disease. There are so many ways that this work affects that. And it's because, quite frankly, we are rewriting a message. Think about a message you receive. You open your email and there are, let's play a game with this. You open your email and there are two different messages. One says, I love you. And one says, I'm going to come kill you, right? Those are messages that you receive. They're going to land differently for you. You know, they're going to affect your heart rate and your circulation and your respiration, and your entire body is going to go one way or another based on if you believe those messages, if you believe I love you, or if you believe I'm going to kill you. We are actively, through this work, all the work, you know, that we're talking about, the stuff I bring, the stuff Monica brings, sending a different message. And yeah. It matters so profoundly in one's ability to circumvent this pain cycle. And one of the ways I relate to what you're saying about neutrality is, and I've done a podcast on this more than once where I mentioned stuff like this, that instead of saying, I'm anxious, oh my God, I'm so anxious, you say, wow, I'm having an experience of human anxiety. It's wild. Okay, let's see. What does it feel like? Well, it feels like my heart's beating. Okay, put your hand on your chest. I feel the heart. Okay, it's beating. Wow. Okay, interesting. Like, think about even just in that 10 seconds that I said that, how differently that could land as a message. Yeah. You know, not like I'm spinning out and everything's wrong. Like, oh, wow, well, this is interesting. This is an experience of human anxiety. So, and in that sentence is also the connotation that all human beings experience anxiety. It's nothing abnormal. It's totally fine. Okay, I love this. So is there more that you want to say? Because I know we're going to all be experiencing this together as a group at Omega, and I'm so jazzed. Is there more that you want to say that maybe can be communicated in a forum of a podcast of like kind of what this looks like for people to do?
Sure. So before that, I think one thing that that I find really important in doing this work, you know, a lot of times when clients first come to me, their symptoms are high. It's very, very painful, huge disruption to their lives. And before we can really get into the meat of somatic tracking, I know I mentioned earlier, it isn't generally a practice that is recommended for really, really high sensations. It's really hard to stay in a neutral mindset when your symptoms are 7, 8, 9, 10. It just is, and that's okay, right? Your frontal lobe is offline. Your amygdala is just firing way too fast to apply any sort of reasoning to what is happening to your body. And so what I like to do, and I sort of think of this as the foundation, or in a sense, I like this analogy a lot. So in the world of, you know, this sort of thing about neural circuits and neuropathways, I envision it like a dirt road that the ruts have been super, you know,
deep,
pulled it deep it by your own car. And every time you drive it, you're not only making the ruts deeper, but as your pain and symptoms get worse, you're also like destroying the bottom of your car, right?
Okay.
And we can somatic track to get out of that neural pathway, but what are we going to do, right? What's going to happen if we pull out of the rut and we have no other road that we've paved for ourselves? Our brain is going to look for another way to
another rut, latch,
right? Yeah. Symptom imperative, that sort of thing. The practice of leaning into positive sensations is probably one of my favorite tools in the somatic, sort of in the somatic tracking world. The way that I look at positive sensations is giving your brain a practice of doing something other than being in the sensations that you're experiencing. So positive sensations to me is, it's sort of like a prerequisite in a way, not always, but you know, for those of you out there who may be really, really high on your symptoms level, think of positive sensations as practice of what you're going to do when you are able to track. Because if you don't have anything to do after you get out of pain, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I've tracked this. I've tracked my anxiety or whatever it is. I'm feeling so much better. But you haven't practiced what better is.
Mm-hmm.
What do you enjoy to do? What sparks you up when you... I'll backtrack a little. We can apply the positive sensations practice to anything that we enjoy, from a smell, touch, the warmth of sun on our skin, even the cool air in the winter time.
Yeah.
A cushion, a soft blanket, a positive emotion, a loving emotion. We can lean into and help our brain practice something other than being hypervigilant about our sensations by practicing the things that we enjoy. And I also look at this as a way of foundation of what do you want to do with your life when you're not in constant symptoms? What sparks you?
Can I tell you, this is like everything, because first of all, I'm well aware, and I want to make sure to make note that a lot of people listening to this podcast are going to be like, yeah, okay, that will be great, but right now I'm in terrible suffering. And Monica and I understand that. That is like the whole 100%. Purpose of what we do. Having said that, it is really imperative to understand that nature abhors a vacuum. And if you empty yourself of something that took so much of your time, you know, the doctors and the procedures and the searching and the complaining to friends and all the stuff that chronic pain adds to every single person's docket, you need to be mindful of what you're going to fill it with. And so I love both of these practices, both the, you know, tracking. Well, actually, it's really three practices. It's the tracking positive sensations in the body when your pain is a 7+ and you can't yet do some restorative somatic tracking. Then there is the basis of somatic tracking where we're actually working with, you know, intermediate to low symptoms and finding ways to retread, you know, and to find. And then it is the follow-up, which is what are we really going to add? What's the new road that we're going to pave? And all of that is all, it's all so important.
I've had clients say to me, but I'm here for the pain. I'm not here to learn how to feel good. I'm here to learn how to not feel bad. And I know we talk about this community, for what do you want versus what you don't want? Really focusing on what we want. And in a sense, it's like if we're building a house and we try to put the roof on before we have foundation or walls up, there's nothing to hold up the roof.
Right.
And so that's, you know, to me, the positive sensations practice is also something, you know, you can sit down and lean into positive sensations for 10 minutes, go sit in the sun, go enjoy the sound of the birds, you know, listen to the water trickling at the lake or whatever you're going to do to enjoy being alive. But it also opens us up to this whole world of what do I enjoy and what am I going to do after?
It's
if we haven't paved the road and we haven't built the foundation or the walls, our roof is going to fall. And so once we have some practice, and also I think that the practice of finding either something really enjoyable or a neutral sensations practice is also a great one. Oftentimes, you know, we're not coming at this from the lens of fear so much, right? I'm learning how to enjoy my body again and the things that filter through my life experience. But also this overall sense of creating safety. It feels good to feel love.
Yeah. It feels safe. It feels safe when you know you're loved. It feels like the supports that are around you.
And it's such a great place to practice looking at things through a neutral perspective, or at least with not as much fear. So that's what I, love the foundation work of the positive sensations. And then, you know, what I, another thing that I really enjoy about somatic tracking is that once we're comfortable with the positive sensations, tracking our symptoms in our bodies, tracking emotions, tracking sensations such as an anxious moment, right? These can all be practiced and further neutralized in our brain and our nervous system as a non-threat.
So I want to just tell people, because I hear I every time I'm interviewing someone, it's like I have this archive of frequently asked questions that roll through my brain. And one thing I hear from people a lot is I can't even imagine what's in there. I am 50, 60, 70, 80. I mean, I hear from people all across the board and they say, there's too much in there. It's too packed. It's I'm too far gone. And I want to promise you, you are not. I want to promise you that this is not a bottomless pit of discovery. So much, the brain is so plastic, the brain is so sophisticated. When you start rewriting one or two of these paths, the road starts building itself, right?
I'm like cheering over here. My analogy for this is, you know, the concept of the low-lying fruit?
Yes.
Right? So when you go to, when you see a tree full of ripe fruit and you're like, oh, I'm going to grab something off of this branch. And much like our traumas and our situations and our symptoms or whatever it is that feels like our tree is too big, there's too much fruit here to pick. I want to offer the analogy of how many times have we gone to pick that apple and we pull the branch down a little bit. And then when the apple comes off, 9 other apples seem to fall at the same time. It's great. We don't actually have to unpack every single scenario.
Right.
And, you know, I remember, you know, and sometimes I hear trepidation and people in the group, I'm not ready to look at the big stuff. Great, practice with the small stuff. Mm-hmm. You don't have to immediately jump to your largest symptom. If it feels safer to practice with the little bit of a hurt shoulder as opposed to the sciatica that is, you know, flooring you, great, let's do that. Practice, and this is what I love about this work, is that it's all practice.
Yes.
There is no perfection here. I was doing a terrible job of sweeping my house the other day. Mm-hmm. It was like, I wasn't really pulling chairs out. And I thought to myself, I noticed this really negative, like, you shouldn't even be doing this. You're right. Doing such a terrible job. You shouldn't even be doing it. And then I thought, this is such a terrible way of looking at this care of my home. Some is better than none.
Yes. I say that to myself all the time, because many of us who fall victim to this work, and I say that with a little bit of laughing, because, you know, I hate a victim mentality, but we all feel like a victim sometimes. Yep. Are people who are perfectionists. Yes. Who are people who hold ourselves as, you know, we're our own worst critic, and we hold ourselves to such high standards. And I tell myself on a daily basis, don't judge it or you won't start it. Just do what you can do and let that be enough. And if you wake and if at the end of the day you say that actually really wasn't enough, great, sure. Do a little more tomorrow. Like it's okay. And wow. Monica, I know that we need to wrap up, but I want to say that like you have put so many interesting balls in the air that I'm so excited for those of you guys who can come to Omega, for us to really dive deeply into this together. I love when an interview leaves me wanting more, because all I want to do is talk more and more and more about this, because it's so exciting. So for those of you who will be with us, that will be really exciting. And for those of you who can't be with us, Monica, I definitely want to have you back, because as we have more conversations about this, I am more and more educated on how imperative it is for people to get this stuff and to incorporate it into their practices. So thank you so much for being with us today.
You are so welcome. Thank you for having me. And, you know, one of the things that I would love to come back, and I would love to do a guided positive sensations,
yes,
meditation or mindfulness, because really that's what it is. But I'd love to engage in some practice with you.
Yes. I love it. No, I love
and,
it.
Yeah. And to and see where we go from there. Because I think that is such a sometimes a little bit of a missing component in terms of, you know, when of this work. What do we want versus what we don't want? And really saying, oh, I want to feel good. Great. Let's practice feeling good. Because our brain has been practicing for so long not feeling good.
Yes.
So grasping on to this idea that our bodies can and will be a place of refuge and solace and safety and empowerment. It's really in there. I promise.
Oh my God. You're
with conviction.
Yes. That's well, you know how I love to promise with conviction. So, you know, you're on my team.
And you can come to Omega and experience more in person. It's going to be so fun.
Yeah. So we're just about 2.5 months out. Yeah. I cannot wait to see you. It's going to be so much fun. And it's not only like the learning we do there. It's just the whole experience of being there. It's like summer camp for grownups, and it's a week I anticipate probably more than anything else in my life. So I'm very excited. And
yeah, all the feedback that I've heard, I'm sold. I'm excited to not only be there as a guest, but also as a participant. And, you know, just like this is, I'm in the practice of life as well. And I'm so excited to be there and to accumulate more wealth of knowledge and other, you know, practices that help us look at ourselves through the same compassion that we often provide to everybody else.
Oh man, you are going to freaking love it. Oh my God. All right, guys, we need to jump. Time yes. constraints, but Monica, thank you.
You're so welcome.
Can't wait love to give you. You a hug. Love you.
I know, it'll be so fun. And I love all your listeners too.
This is a great community. It's a wonderful community. And if indeed you are not a member of my Journal Speak page on Facebook, go to Facebook and search Journal Speak with Nicole Sachs LCSW. It is completely free. It is many thousands of people that are moderated by the most amazing team of moderators, Monica among them. They answer questions. I show up when I can. They support one another. And it's such a great way to get you started on this journey if you haven't yet fully gotten involved. And of course, as always, if you're enjoying this podcast, please hop over to iTunes and rate and review it. It helps people find the podcast and change their lives. And until next week, this has been Nicole Sachs with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast, and I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.